Hello, hello, everyone. Amanda Grace here with you tonight. Welcome, welcome. So happy to have all of you here jumping in from the United States and around the world. We are so happy to be gathered together tonight as the Ecclesia, as the body of Christ from all over the world. So welcome, welcome to everyone. Hello to our moderators, our team. Thank you for helping us do what we do for the Lord. We have some serious stuff to get into tonight. I wouldn't have gone live, but some stuff happened. And so basically, after what I saw transpire overnight, I felt compelled and led to go live. So as people are jumping in, we're going to open up in prayer. I have a couple of quick announcements, and then we're going to get into tonight. There is a lot going on. There is a lot of rumblings, basically, also happening, especially in the Middle East, and it's stretching to the United States of America, and that is becoming very apparent. So hello to everybody just coming in. We're going to open up in prayer, and then we're going to get into tonight. So Father God, in the precious name of your son, Jesus Christ, Yeshua HaMashiach, we come before you. We praise you, your almighty God. You are high and lifted up, far above every power, principality, and might. We give you all the glory, honor, and praise through your precious holy name. Lord, we humble ourselves before you this day, asking that the pull of the flesh becomes less in our lives, so you, your will, and your power become more in our lives. We acknowledge you sent your son, Jesus Christ, Yeshua HaMashiach, to the earth, and the word became flesh and dwelt among us. He was the Passover lamb, the sacrifice for our sins. He willingly died at Calvary. He purchased us by the shedding of his own blood. He redeemed us. He reconciled us back to you, Lord. He miraculously rose again in 3 days, as was prophesied, and after appearing to many, ascended back into heaven, took his rightful, righteous place to the right hand of the Father, where he rules and reigns forevermore. He is our advocate before your throne. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, we invite your presence. The presence of Ruach Elohim, the Spirit of the living God, and the presence of the Ruach HaKadosh, the Holy Spirit, to fill this place, Lord, that your power would fill this place, Lord, that your power would mightily go forth, that people would feel your presence, Lord. Father, that you would go before us and lead us in wisdom, counsel, might, power, and the reverential fear of the Lord. Fill us with your wisdom and counsel tonight, Father, as we submit to you. By the power of the blood of Jesus Christ, by the Spirit of the one true living God, may only the truth and power of Almighty God with authority now come forth, Lord, in Jesus' name. Father, take all the glory for yourself. You are the potter, we most certainly just the clay, Father God. You are the author and finisher of our faith, Father. Every breath we have is because of you, because your spirit was breathed into the dust of the earth. And every breath we take, Lord, is because of you. And we give you all the glory for that. Let your name be glorified above all. In Jesus' name, Yeshua's name, amen and amen. Okay, praise the Lord. Amen and amen. So, Shabbat Shalom to our Jewish brothers and sisters. Tonight is actually Shabbat HaGadol. We'll get more into that in a moment because it plays into things that are transpiring right now. So let me get up some things here so I can show you. We have a couple of quick announcements and then we're going to get right into tonight. There is a lot happening that is all connected. And so we like to prophetically and in Lord's wisdom connect these events for you to show you a bigger picture here. And that's exactly what we're going to do. Please pray during this broadcast because my husband is outside using power tools right now while I'm trying to do this broadcast. So let's just all agree in prayer on that. Okay, first, this is the last weekend for the gala. So meaning like for you to get your gala ticket. So if you'd like to be part of our Ark of Grace Sanctuary gala, this is our first gala at the Links at Unionvale in LaGrangeville, New York. It will be May 3rd, 2024. We will be having a meet and greet with some of the animals of Ark of Grace from 5 to 6 p.m. As you can see, we have Venmo. You can call the phone number on the screen. You can also email hello at arkofgrace-ministries.com. You could go to arkofgrace.org/events to learn more. And very excited about this. Mark your calendars for Tuesday night. This coming Tuesday, April 23rd. Today is Friday, April 19th. Tuesday, April 23rd, 2024, we are having our live Passover Seder. We will be doing the Seder meal. So if you go to arcofgrace.org/events, we do have all the information there. We have the link to your Passover Seder shopping list so you can prepare everything and do the live Passover Seder with us. This is one of the most important Passovers I believe in recent time we will celebrate. There is a lot of significance to this Passover, as always is, but there's a lot of prophetic significance to it. I believe it's one of the most crucial. So please join us for that. We will be going live at 5 p.m., I believe, Eastern Standard Time. And also, going along with Passover, it is our Passover lamb, Moses' birthday. So Moses was born on Passover 2 years ago. He truly is a Passover lamb. And he turned two. So there you can see him. He's so cute in his little diapers. When we first got him with Chester, he was so fragile. Yeah, and there I am bottle feeding him. And as you can see, pictures of him growing up. So happy birthday to Moses, our Passover lamb. We absolutely love him. He's so adorable. Here are some pictures of him as a baby when we first took him in. There's me feeding him. There's Toby looking at me like I don't know what I'm doing. Here's me trying to feed him again. And I think this might be one. Oh, there he is. He was just so precious. There he is in a little onesie. We put him in a onesie. And there's Moses with Chester. So happy birthday to Moses, our precious boy. We absolutely love him. And so he was just a blessing. He was an amazing blessing that came into our lives at that time. And he truly is a Passover lamb, born really without spot or blemish. So much so that Jonah came over, took a picture of him, and sent him a picture of Moses to a rabbi we both know to show him the lamb that was born on Passover. So, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Okay, so let me get up what we need to talk about here. Oy vey, there is so much going on right now. So let me get up the articles here because I want to show you the articles of what has happened or transpired overnight. So here's from here. Let me get it up. I'm going to show you a couple, actually. I'm going to show you ABC and CBS, right? So here is ABC News. Okay. Israelis fired 3 missiles in limited strike. Here's CBS. Israel strikes Iran with a missile, U.S. officials say, as Tehran downplays Netanyahu's apparent retaliation. At the last moments, Israel did give warning to the United States that they were going to do this. And this is what that article says from CBS. 2 U.S. officials told CBS News on Thursday night that an Israeli missile had struck Iran. The strike came less than a week after Iran's unprecedented retaliatory drone and missile attack on Israel, to which Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu had vowed to respond. The U.S. officials did not provide any information about the location or extent of the Israeli strike, and the Israeli Defense Forces would not comment on the attack when asked by CBS News. Iran's state-run IRNA news agency said air defense batteries fired across several provinces, but it didn't elaborate on why the batteries had fired. Iranians did report hearing the sound of explosions in several locations, but there was no urgent meeting called of Iran's ruling High National Council. State television said, and it appeared the Iranian government was trying to downplay the impact of the Israeli attack. Okay. Now, what's interesting about this is in the 39-day window, right? Last July 2023, I started sounding the alarm on a 39-day window that was going to begin Purim 2024, which started March 23rd, right? And went to sundown March 24th, I believe. And it was going to go all the way to the end of Passover, April 30th. And the full solar eclipse across our nation was going to happen smack in the middle on April 8th. This attack that Iran launched, over 300, really 331 drones, missiles, and cruise missiles. Okay. So drones, ballistic missiles, cruise missiles, right at Israel, came after that full solar eclipse happens, right? And we're heading to Passover. That's when that happened. And you had the United States, the UK, you had Saudi Arabia, you had Jordan, and you had France all jump in to defend Israel. Israel had their Iron Dome system in place, which is incredible to watch. And basically, that attack by Iran was thwarted. So Israel, what happened overnight is their response to this. Okay, keep in mind, we're still in this 39-day window. Passover starts at sundown on Monday. Okay, so just keep this in mind. Now, a senior Israeli official told the Washington Post that the Israeli counterattack was intended to signal to Iran that Israel can attack its territory. So basically, that they can come in at any point and hit any one of Iran's targets, including their nuclear facilities, if they so choose. So this attack was meant as a warning. Basically, we can get to you. We can get to your bases. We can get to your facilities, and we can strike whenever need be. So this is the basis of this. Now, this is where it's going to get very interesting, okay? Because this goes way deeper than we think here. So Netanyahu has basically held the prime minister position in Israel for a total of almost 17 years, okay? Because he served in blocks. So one block, he served 3 years, another block, I think he served 12 years, and now he's going on his second year serving in this block of time as prime minister, because Israel's rules for being elected prime minister are a little different than the ones America has for president. So if you look at the 16th and the 17th letter of the Hebrew alphabet, okay, Ayin, A-Y-I-N, is the 16th letter of the Hebrew alphabet. It means eyes or salvation, okay? Now, salvation, just keep that in mind. Pei, P-E-Y, is the 17th letter of the Hebrew alphabet, okay? Well, it's actually P-E-I is actually how it's spelled. Sometimes it means it's P-E-H, but it's Pei, okay, or Pei. This means mouth, right? A mouth is something we use to speak, and the entire purpose of speaking is to communicate with another individual. That ability to communicate is the essential aspect of how the Lord made us to communicate with him. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. So if you put these two together, the Ayin and the Pei, right, you have salvation mouth. Speaking salvation, which I find just fascinating. Just put it that way. Speaking salvation, right? A mouth that proclaims salvation. I think this is going to be a theme that we're going into in this time. So just keep that in mind. Now, Friday, today, because the strike was carried out Friday, right? Because Israel's about 7 hours ahead of us. So the strike was carried out Friday. Tonight at sundown, and it was, you know, Israel's sundown was 7 hours quicker than ours, but today was the Shabbat Haggadol. Now, what is the Shabbat Haggadol? It is the great Shabbat, the Shabbat immediately before Passover. So the Shabbat that always comes immediately before Passover is called the Shabbat Haggadol. Now, Israel's mission began with the great Shabbat. They carried out the mission on the Shabbat Haggadol, the Shabbat before Passover. Now, the Shabbat Haggadol is when God told the children of Israel to select the lamb for their household 5 days before Passover, right? We have Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, right? Because Tuesday begins the first full day of Passover. So the Shabbat HaGadol, right? Or today would have been when the lamb was selected and brought in to the homes of the children of Israel for 5 days before the Passover. Okay, this is when Israel launches this strike. So this is first to note. There's something else that we need to take note of here, and I'm going to show you. First post, Israel attacks Iran on Ayatollah Khomeini's birthday. The Iranian leader who calls the Jewish nation a cancer. Okay, so not only is it the Shabbat HaGadol, Israel decided to strike Iran on the Ayatollah Khomeini's 85th birthday. And this is what it says. Israel launched an attack against Tehran on Friday, April 19th, on the 85th birthday of Iran's supreme leader, Ayatollah Ali Khomeini. He is the country's most powerful leader and influences domestic and foreign policy. In his 25-year-long regime, he has viewed Israel and the U.S. as enemies. You know, it's interesting he keeps calling them a cancer because people that keep speaking that way, because death and life are in the power of the tongue, usually end up having befall them what they keep speaking. It's also his 85th birthday. Eight, right, is the number of new beginnings. Five is the number of grace. This could very well be the year that the grace has thinned and Iran's about to get an overthrow in their regime. So let's just keep that in mind also as we go forth. It also says on Friday morning, Israel launched an attack against Iran targeting the city of Isfahan. Tel Aviv's action comes nearly a week after Iran launched a drone and missile attack against Israel. Okay, now, this particular Ayatollah has reigned 25 years, but the Ayatollah came back to Iran in 1979. Okay, so keep this in mind. The Ayatollah has come back to Iran to rule, right? After the revolution in 1979 is when the Ayatollahs took back over Iran. So this year would be 45 years that the Ayatollahs, right, have been ruling Iran. Now, 45. That's interesting because it was the 45th president of the United States, Donald Trump, that carried out that strike against the Iranian generals. Remember, against Soleimani and other high-ranking Iranian officials in the military, that strike was carried out. I think it was in 2018? Might have been at the end of 2018, but I have to think back. But that strike was carried out by the 45th president of the United States. Okay. The Ayatollah has been leading Iran for 45 years this year, right? Because they came back in 1979. Netanyahu has led Israel going on 17 years. 17 and 45. Netanyahu has led Israel going on 17 years. The Ayatollahs have led Iran going on 45 years. 1 Samuel 17:45. And I have to thank Jonah for sending me some things today because it actually helped me connect what I had already been started working on. It actually helped me connect what I was working on and then take it a step further. But 1 Samuel 17:45 says, "Then David said to the Philistine, 'You come to me with a sword, a spear, and a javelin. But I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have taunted.'" 1745. 1 Samuel 17:45. I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have taunted. I don't know what a better scripture for that than this, because that is all they have been doing lately, is taunting the God of the armies of Israel. Now, I'm going to read to you a little further here, and this actually kind of connects to the 45th, 46th, and upcoming 47th presidential races also. This whole thing in 1 Samuel, it's quite interesting. But 1 Samuel 17, 45 through 47. I'm going to read it to you as a whole block here. Then David said to the Philistines, "You come to me with a sword, a spear, and a javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have taunted." And then David says, "This day," verse 46, "the Lord will hand you over to me, and I will strike you down and cut off your head." I know this is pretty graphic. "And I will give the corpses of the army of the Philistines this day to the birds of the sky and the wild beasts of the earth, so that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel." So David is announcing in verse 46 a future event. Okay, that event hasn't happened yet. Goliath has not been defeated yet. David and Goliath are in the valley. You've got the armies of Israel on one side, you got the Philistine army on the other, you got David and Goliath in the valley. After David tells him that he's coming to him in the name of the Lord, of the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have taunted, David says, "This day the Lord will." So the Lord hadn't done it at that point. He was announcing what the Lord was going to do to Goliath and the Philistines for taunting the God of the armies of Israel. Now, verse 47. "And that this entire assembly may know that the Lord does not save with the sword or with the spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will hand you over to us." Now, what's interesting is David defeated Goliath with a stone, with a rock. And who do we stand on the solid rock of? Jesus Christ. So that's just a little interesting thing to point out here. But that whole exchange, we are actively watching be carried out right now. This whole exchange of 1 Samuel 17, 45 through 47, we are beginning to watch be carried out. Okay? So just keep that in mind. 1 Samuel 17, 45 through 47. Now, this happens. What Israel does is on the Ayatollah Ali Khamenei's 85th birthday. So Israel decided to give him a birthday present, a very memorable birthday present that he would soon not forget. The Ayatollah did not get probably what he wished for. Instead, he got a strike by Israel with a bow on it for what they had done just a week prior. So instead, Israel decided that they were going to go forth. They were going to launch a strike. The world, predominantly Europe and the United States, was trying to de-escalate the situation by sanctioning Iran. So many sanctions now have been put on Iran after what they did. So, but that still did not deter Israel. They still felt they had to respond to show Iran, "We can get to your facilities. Do not think for a second we can't. Happy birthday, Ayatollah. We can get to your country, your facilities, into your airspace stealthily, and we can hit these targets." Okay, now, this is where it gets even more interesting. The ninth plague over Egypt in the book of Exodus, because we're coming into Passover, right? Coming into Passover, week long, talks about all the plagues that the Lord himself inflicted on Egypt because they were oppressing God's people, enslaving them. And when the Lord said, let my people go, Pharaoh hardened his heart and refused to listen. So the ninth plague over Egypt in Exodus was darkness coming over the land. Darkness comes over the land. Darkness is striking Iran, right? Israel felt the darkness in the Hamas attack, and now darkness is striking Iran. And Israel delivered what leaders described as a limited Israeli response. And it was contained, and like I said, it was meant to send a message. Now, Iran's attack on Israel, this is where it starts to get fascinating. Their attack on Israel, where they launched 331 drones, ballistic missiles, and cruise missiles right at Israel. This attack came more than 6 months after Hamas terrorists invaded the country on October 7th, right? Now, they were already there, but they launched a full-scale, horrific, horrible, damaging, satanic strike, okay, on October 7th. So Iran's attack on Israel, when they send all those missiles, comes 6 months after the attack on Israel on October 7th, 2023, okay? After that, the Israeli army begins its operation in the Gaza Strip. The IDF begins going into Gaza. Now, 6 months, Iran launches this attack 6 months after this war begins. So April is the sixth month. April also is when the eclipse happened here. April is when Passover happens. April is in this 39-day window, right? All of April between Purim and Passover. So the sixth month since this attack is April. Okay. Now, this is where we're going to connect the Old and New Testament here and show you what's going on. So the ninth plague over Egypt in Exodus was darkness. Now, remember the number nine, okay? So remember the number nine. We're going to go to Luke chapter 23, verses 44 through 49. It was now about the sixth hour, and darkness came over the whole land until the ninth hour. Because, verse 45, because the sun was obscured, and the veil of the temple was torn in two. And Jesus, crying out with a loud voice, said, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. Having said this, he breathed his last. Now, when the centurion saw what had taken place, he began praising and honoring God, saying, certainly this man was innocent. Verse 48, all the crowds who had gathered for the spectacle, when they saw what had happened, began to return to their homes. And all his acquaintances and the women who had accompanied him from Galilee were standing at a distance watching these things. So in Luke 23, it was the sixth hour when darkness comes over the land. It's the sixth hour. It is the sixth month, and here I'll take this down. It is the sixth month since this war began. April is the sixth month. April contains Passover. It was the sixth hour when Christ was on the cross, the Passover lamb, when darkness comes over the land. It's in the sixth month that darkness comes over the land of Israel. Right? Because we're in the sixth month. Iran launches this barrage of missiles and drones at Israel. It's in the sixth month, like the sixth hour, that darkness comes over the land. In fact, Iran fired 331 drones and missiles at Israel. 331 in Hebrew represents Emmanuel, which means God with us. Okay, now in the sixth month now, just like the sixth hour, darkness has come over the land, okay? Because when Jesus was on the cross in the sixth hour, darkness came over the land. It's in the sixth month since the war started. The sixth month would be April. That darkness comes over the whole land. Darkness comes over the land until the ninth hour. April as Passover. The ninth plague of Passover, right, is darkness. So darkness comes over the land until the ninth hour. And the ninth plague was darkness over Egypt. Okay, now, I'm going to read to you Exodus chapter 9, verses 8 through 9. Because you have to understand something. When we see these things happening, wars and rumors and wars, we are supposed to rejoice and look up because our redemption draweth nigh. Okay, so Exodus 9, 8 through 9. I'm going to put it up right here. Then the Lord said to Moses and Aaron, take handfuls of, oh wait, Exodus, okay, hold on a second, I have to set this up. So we have the ninth plague, darkness. We have in the sixth hour, darkness comes over the land. April is the 6 months since the war started. April contains Passover. The ninth plague of Passover is darkness. But what's the sixth plague? What is the sixth plague over Egypt? Well, that's in Exodus 9, verses 8 through 9. Then the Lord said to Moses and Aaron, take handfuls of soot from a furnace, and have Moses toss it into the air in the presence of Pharaoh. It will become fine dust over the whole land of Egypt, and festering boils will break out on men and animals throughout the land. So that's interesting, because the sixth plague, just to note, has to do with boils breaking out in the land. So if we're in the sixth month of this war in Israel, and it's April, then July would be the ninth month or the ninth hour. So if we're looking at it that way, because there's multiple ways you can look at this. If the sixth month is April, since the war started, then the ninth month or the ninth hour, right? The sixth hour, sixth month, ninth hour, ninth month would be July. July 4th in America is when we gained our independence from tyranny. Or you can look at it as the sixth month on our calendar is June, right? And the ninth month on our calendar would be September, which would be Rosh Hashanah, the Feast of Trumpets. And I'll just say this seriously, that June is a month to watch right now. That's all I'm going to say. June is a month just to make note of. Jonah went into Nineveh in June, right after a full solar eclipse, and pronounced judgment on them within 40 days. We had that full solar eclipse pass over more than 8 Ninevehs in North America, cities named Nineveh. June is a month to watch right now. June is a month to watch because of what we see transpiring as well in the Middle East, or marching towards June. Let's put it that way. Okay. So you have the sixth hour, darkness comes over the land. And the darkness comes over the land till the ninth hour, right? In that chapter of Luke that we were just reading, Luke 23. The ninth plague over Egypt was darkness. We are about to enter Passover, where all of those plagues are gone through during the Passover Seder, including the ninth one, which is darkness. Now, on top of all of this, Israel and the world, including the United States of America, are battling the spirit of Amalek that has risen up in the earth. And our leadership here in the U.S. is stoking that fire, not realizing what this spirit is, what its capabilities are, what they're dealing with. It's seducing, It's loud, it's destructive, it's manipulative, and it utilizes rebellion and paganism to do its exploits. Now, Joshua, who Moses helped train up, had to face off against Amalek. All right, so Moses and Joshua, Moses who delivered the Jews, the Lord used Moses to bring the Jews out of Egypt, right? He utilized Moses greatly for that. They had a run-in with Amalek. And that run-in can be found in Exodus 17, verses 8 through 16. And this is what it says. Then Amalek and his people came and fought with Israel at Rephidim. So Moses said to Joshua, "Choose men for us and go out, fight against Amalek. Tomorrow I will stand on the top of the hill with the staff of God in my hand." So Joshua did as Moses said and fought with Amalek, and Moses, Aaron, and Hur went up to the hilltop. Now when Moses held up his hand, Israel prevailed. And when he lowered his hand, so he holds up his hand, Israel prevails. He lowers his hand due to fatigue, Amalek prevailed. But Moses' hands were heavy and he grew tired. So they took a stone and put it under him, and he sat on it. Then Aaron and Hur held up his hands, one on one side and one on the other side. So it was that his hands were steady until the sun set. So Joshua overwhelmed and defeated Amalek and his people with the edge of the sword. Verse 14, then the Lord said to Moses, "Write this in the book as a memorial and recite it to Joshua, that I will utterly wipe out the memory of Amalek and his people from under heaven." And Moses built an altar and named it, "The Lord is my banner." Jehovah Nissi, that is, "The Lord is my banner," saying, "The Lord has sworn an oath. The Lord will have war against the people of Amalek from generation to generation." So Moses, who experiences the plagues in Egypt, helps lead God's people out, him and Joshua have to face Amalek. And for what Amalek did, the Lord says that he would have war with the people of Amalek from generation to generation. That in every generation, he would war with the people of Amalek. And that spirit has risen up in the earth. And that spirit has risen up in the United States of America. It has risen up in Iran. It has risen up in other areas of the Middle East. It is rising up and is seducing people to taunt the armies of the living God like Goliath did. You have to remember, the Philistines and Amalek, they're kind of connected. And David said to Goliath, "The Lord is going to hand you over because you have taunted the armies of the living God." You haven't just challenged, you've taunted. And this spirit right now is enticing those to try to taunt right now the people of the living God, the armies of the living God, to try to taunt who God is and what God said, that he would war with them every generation because of what they did. Because of what they did to the people of Israel coming out of Egypt, he would war with them. Now, we see this in this nation right now, and I'm going to show you something that is that it's happened almost simultaneously to what we see happening overseas. There is something that just happened in New York City that goes along with this. So I'll show you the article here. Here it is. NYPD arrests over 100 at pro-Palestinian protest at Columbia University. Okay, so this is what it says. Police arrested more than 100 protesters on Columbia University's campus Thursday after they set up encampments to protest Israel's war in Gaza. Police officers forcibly moved students out of tents at the center of Columbia's campus in Manhattan, according to eyewitness accounts. University President Manoj Shafiq told police the encampment began early Wednesday morning with more than 100 people occupying the south lawn of the campus. So this protest breaks out amidst what's happening. Yes, and the Congresswoman's, Ilhan Omar, I believe is her name, her daughter was arrested in that protest. The Congresswoman that has stirred up so much strife was arrested during this protest. Now, you're seeing bridges, you're seeing roads, you're seeing campuses. Why these places? Because that spirit of Amalek that is rising up in the earth is trying to keep us from moving ahead in the Lord in this nation, put the Lord in his rightful position in this nation, honor the Lord and who he is, and echo the name of Jesus Christ, Yeshua, across the land. It's literally trying to stop. That's what Amalek did when they came out against the children of Israel. They literally tried to stop them. They literally tried to stop and pillage them. And you have this going on in New York City right now. And this is what I find interesting about the fact that this is all happening simultaneously. It's happening in the 39-day window. We're about to begin Passover on Monday at sundown. Okay, Passover, we're going into a very, very pressure-filled, crucial Passover. We've already seen some of the unexpected happen. We're going to see more, but it's happening during this time. This spirit is rising up, and it's rising up in fury close to Passover. Okay, so these kids, and they are kids, who were doing this protest. And, you know, people gather and peacefully protest, whatever, you know, that's one thing. You know, you want to protest that the Smurfs aren't back on TV? I don't know. You know, people have a right to peaceably, have a peaceably gather. But Amalek is utilizing these kids, this spirit of Amalek, and those that have partnered with it are utilizing the clueless and seducing them into thinking they have a clue. But what they have really done is set themselves up in opposition to the Lord. And the Lord doesn't want that, because he wishes none would perish, that all would come to know him through Christ Jesus. But they're putting themselves in opposition and coming into the territory of taunting the Lord. All right, they've entered that territory of taunting Hashem, of taunting Almighty God. They're entering it. And these kids that are doing this, I don't think have a clue. I don't think have a clue. I would be pretty sure that most, if not all, of these kids going to Columbia have never lived in an active hornet's nest where nations around you are threatening to destroy you from the river to the sea and take your entire nation from you and destroy every last one of their people. I'd be willing to bet hardly any of them have been to Israel to understand what's going on there, let alone heard the sound of air raid sirens shaking from bombs going off or anything like that. They have lived very ignorant lives, these kids, many of them. Many of them broken from their homes and looking for a cause to be part of, something greater than themselves to stand up for because of the brokenness they suffered at home. They have been taught they can constantly flip-flop with the wind, where they can change their gender, faith, ideology, convictions like underwear. That what the Lord says is obsolete because the spirit of Amalek is telling them what they want to hear. Do what thou wilt. Do whatever you want. I don't see any of these deceived vessels that were protesting at Columbia or on any of the bridges or protesting at any of these other universities. I don't see them advocating against abortions because they're like, oh, this is genocide. What's happening in Gaza is genocide. I don't see any of these people advocating against abortions where innocent children are murdered. What about that genocide? Because that genocide has swept this nation and over 60 million babies are dead. You talk about Palestinian children? We have had a genocide happen in this nation, 60 million of them. And I see none of them screaming about that. Nor do I see these students protesting the invasion coming across our borders of gang members and terrorists. I don't see these kids protesting against illegal drugs flooding our streets. I don't see them standing up for morality or the trillions in debt our nation is in, protesting that, or the inoculations that are being linked to serious illness. I see no protest about Christians being slaughtered in the Middle East and Africa by groups that want to wipe out Christianity. I see no protesting about how honor killings and the horrific way women are treated over in other areas of the world. I see no protesting by these people on bridges and across universities. I don't see them protesting over the horrors about how China treats animals, God's creation, whom he loves, how they harvest from their own people, parts of them. I see no protest on these college campuses for the homeless epidemic in our nation, or the mental illness epidemic in our nation, or against the FDA and Big Pharma who are in cahoots to keep you sick so they can build an empire on sorcery. No, I see none of that. It's Palestine, which came from Esau's disobedience when he intermingled with Canaanite women when the Lord told him not to. Canaanite women who would put babies on altars and sacrifice them to Baal. They would do better than blocking bridges and setting up tent cities and doing everything else they're doing. They would do better to raise money if they really want to help Palestinian Christians who are caught in the crossfire of the horrors of war in general. You could raise money to help them get to a safer place. If you really wanted to actually do something that mattered, you could raise money to help, you know, Israeli children right now that are suffering from all of this and their families. Families who still have hostages being held by Hamas. What they are doing is fruitless with the universities and the bridges and the roads and the blocking, and it is fruitless. It is gutless and it is ignorance, given all the problems we face in this nation and the grave sin committed against the Lord. The grave sins that have been committed for generations in this nation against the Lord. The same kids who are protesting and are being sympathetic to what Hamas has done with the Palestinians would do away, Hamas would do away with them in a New York minute without any remorse, because you are considered infidels, you who are protesting. You are considered infidels by those people. Those of you who live in America, they chant death to America. Be careful what you align with in this season, because the spirit of Amalek will use you and then destroy you. I'm also going to say this, that many of these large universities have Jewish funders, very wealthy Jewish funders, right, who have done very well for themselves. They also have other funders of other faiths and cultures. But many of these Jewish funders were very liberal who are funding these universities. They were helping to fund and till the soil and plant seed of the very ideology that has now turned on them. You help to turn these kids into woke, liberal, ignorant parrots that repeat all the talking points these universities feed them because they're being funded. And you thought it was going to further the liberal agenda, which would ultimately help Israel. Well, the very monster you helped fund has now turned on you and your people. And you better repent before Hashem for doing any such thing and turn and take your money and bless those who are actually furthering morals and the family unit and protecting life and who are helping the homeless, who are fighting against all the kids and drugs being trafficked across our southern border, who are preaching the gospel and helping people get delivered and set free. You should be repenting, pulling your money out of these universities that you helped them train these parrots up, that are now repeating things when they don't even know what it's like to live where air raid sirens go off constantly and you have to go into bunkers. They have no clue. They would be on the floor in the fetal position. They would. And you've raised them up to be mentally imbalanced and angry and rebellious against the things of God, against the things of Hashem. And the money that was given helped these universities do this. So this is a time on all fronts to repent and turn. Repent and turn. You know how the Jewish people got enslaved in Egypt? Because when they went to Egypt with the famine, when Joseph brought his family there and they settled in Goshen, they started mixing the pagan practices and ideologies of the Egyptians with the pure practices of the Most Holy God. And the Jews started diluting their faith. And they started taking on the blasphemous practices and ideologies of the Egyptians. And that's how they got enslaved. That is how they got enslaved. And you've done it with these universities. And you've done it in the government. And this is the fruit of this. The very monster you helped make has now turned on you. Now, I'm not saying anti-Semitism in any form is right. It's not. It's horrible. But I'm saying when you help fund the very universities that breed these kids and pour into them to become this, you are culpable in creating the very hate you try to stand against. The church is doing the same thing right now. Don't worry, I'm equal opportunity here. Church is doing the same thing right now. They are diluting and putting the practices of the world left and right. And I'm not talking about carpets and microwaves. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about the practices of the world into the church. We have just seen an enormous problem. I'm going to talk about it on Monday because we don't have time for it right now. Break out in the church. Between pastors, that is now causing a further problem, schism, distraction, issue, however you want to call it, in the body of Christ. Because they're diluting, they're mixing. They think it's the golden corral and we could just pick from where we want. This is not a spiritual buffet. It's not for the Jews and it's not for the Christians. And we need to get back to basics, how Almighty God, through Jesus Christ, and how Hashem wants us to live. You know, I was told by Doobie that They read Malachi chapter 3 on the Shabbat Haggadol, and it has to do with tithing, right? And bringing it to the storehouse, not to the universities, to the storehouse. You know what they used to do then? Take it from the storehouse and distribute it to the poor, sick, needy, widow, and orphan. Not to pious universities that are going to help screw your kids up further. And then fight for causes they don't even understand, nor can they relate to. Is it horrible when children die? Yes, we've had 60 million die in this nation. 60 million. So if you want to scream about anything, Columbia students, you want to yell about genocide activists? Oh, no, you don't want to look in that direction. You don't want to look there because it doesn't further your interests when it comes to the spirit of Amalek and its friends rising up in the earth and launching a rebellion. This nation has problems, serious ones, and it needs to return to Almighty God. Humble themselves before God. Ask God in all his mercy to forgive us sorry sinners for what we have done. 2 Chronicles 7:14, if my people, not the world, not people of other religions, my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and 3 turn from their wicked ways. Then the Lord says he will hear from heaven, forgive their sin and heal their land. Think about that this Passover. My people, Almighty God's people, Hashem's people, Jews and Christians who are called by his name will humble themselves. But you have to turn from your wicked ways. And the spirit of Amalek has found a very, very easy host to stir up in the college age kids. Very easy. And some of the funders who helped do this are now screaming that they've turned on them. Well, let this be a lesson to you. And the ideologies you think will further interests of nations, because you know what? Morality, faith in God, family foundation, life. That is where America and Israel unite. When America turns more towards that, and Israel turns more towards that, you see them come together. But right now, that relationship is on very, very, very shaky ground, and it has to be reconciled. And you've got Palestinian Christians that, yes, have been caught in the middle of this. You have innocent children on both sides because war is horrible. And we've seen what genocide looks like. We know what it looks like. We've seen it. And when a nation is brutally attacked, it has a right to defend itself. You cannot say we here in America have a right to defend ourselves from the invasions coming across our border. But Israel can't defend itself from the wickedness within. Because these kids have been brainwashed and they are on puppet strings and they have reprobate minds and a seared conscience. And that spirit of Amalek has done this all to draw them away from the things of God. towards the shadow of Hades. Towards the shadow of Hades. And you see this in other nations too. This isn't just an America-Israel issue. This is going on in other nations also. It's going on in other nations. And you've got those in Congress trying to launch proxy wars through all of this. I don't envy the Speaker of the House right now with all the yahoos in Congress and the mess that has been made over generations within the government. Yeah, this took generations, this mess. This just didn't happen recently. And I see Congresswomen and men too, but Congresswomen in different ways, screaming like schizophrenic cats instead of providing any comprehensive discussion or solutions or doing any really critical thinking. That Congresswoman, rather than screaming on TV every chance they get, would be better grabbing that mic, bowing their head, and crying out to God for the nation to see. That right now would do more than their 15 seconds of fame, because all they want to do is yell. It's all they want to do. They would be better to do that. So we're going into this Passover. We should be bracing ourselves. Honestly, we should be bracing ourselves. And those that want to lead this nation should be on their knees before God in all humility right now. Because God isn't going to let you cherry pick from this. He's not going to let you cherry pick. If you're going to hold his word, then you have to accept it. You have to accept it. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. I think this is where I'm going to end for tonight on this Shabbat HaGadol. On this 6 month, this 6 hour where darkness comes over the land. It's happening here in the U.S. too. Very interesting times we're in. Very interesting. But be prayerful right now. None of us are perfect. We all fall so short of the glory of God. All of us, my goodness, we would be lost completely without him. We all fall short, but we all, as the church right now, have to get our act together to raise the standard and bear the standard God wants us to. Because look at all that spirit of Amalek and rebellion trying to rise up in the nation right now and stretch across the ocean. Just look at it. So this Passover is crucial. We are going to do this Seder on Tuesday in all humility before God, all humility before God, and keep the Passover and honor it. Because he is a faithful God and we have to be faithful to him. So Shabbat Shalom, everyone. Shabbat Shalom to our Jewish brothers and sisters. Pray right now for what's going on in the Middle East. Pray for leadership here right now. What a hot mess. Pray for leadership right now. Pray for those who want to lead. And pray for the Lord's will to be done. Because his will is the best way. His will is the best way. Okay. And at the end here, I'm just going to put up Andrew Sorcini real fast, just for a moment. Many of you know Andrew. He has Beverly Hills Precious Metals. You can give him a call. You can email him, or you could go to bh-pm.com. He is also on our ministry partners page of arcofgrace.org. Precious metals you would like to purchase, any questions about rolling into an IRA, him and his team are there. And what's so wonderful about Andrew is that he actually takes the time to find out what you need so he can place you with the right team member of his in order for you to be guided and have the patience that is needed at times when you're making such a big decision. So give him a call or an email today, and he'll be more than happy to help you. He's so good about answering our questions, too. He's so good about answering our viewers' questions, even if it has nothing to do with gold or silver. He's very good about answering their questions, I have to say. So, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Thank you, everyone, for joining us tonight. God bless you. Keep the faith. Armor up according to Ephesians chapter 6, Psalm 91. I say it every single day. I encourage you to say it every single day. Also, Psalm 23, Psalm 35, Psalm 34, Psalm 1, wonderful Psalms. Ephesians 1 and 3 from the Believer's Authority. I encourage you not only to read those chapters, but there is scripture I quote every day from the Believer's Authority in Ephesians 1 and 3. The word is living and active. We have to activate it as well. The Lord's Prayer is another. There is an order to that prayer that is so important. I encourage you to say it on a daily basis if you can, because we have to be sober-minded and vigilant, and we have to speak the word. We have to speak it. We have to know it. We have to go deeper with it. God is dropping a plumb line right now in ministry, in the prophetic. He is dropping a major plumb line right now, and we are being called deeper and to get out of the shallow end. So just remember that as well. So, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Heard nothing from Chris. So prayerfully, everything went well with what he is doing out there. He's actually making a cross for the gala. So he's actually making it. So you, those of you who are coming, you'll be able to see it. So thank you for all of you who we're looking forward to seeing you there. And have a wonderful weekend, a wonderful Sabbath tomorrow. And always keep the faith. And remember, we love you and we are so appreciative for you. I really mean that. We are so appreciative of all of you who come on, who love us, who bless us, who listen. And we just want to let you know how much we love you. Chris loves you. I love you. And we thank you for that. So keep the faith. Have a wonderful rest of your evening. We will see you most likely on Monday. Hello, everyone. Amanda Grace here. So, as many of you know, Dr. Mark Sherwood and Dr. Michelle Sherwood of the Functional Medical Institute are mine and Chris's doctors. And so I went to Dr. Sherwood with a problem that I was seeing, not only with what I was going through, but with what other women were going through concerning their metabolism, concerning energy, concerning their hormones. And so we put our heads together. And we are very happy now to finally be able to present to you Rapha for women. Rapha means healer in Hebrew. So it is an ode to the Lord because he is our healer. He put things in the earth that help heal us. And so Rapha is a product that was created for that. It also helps by helping with a healthy metabolism and natural hormones, as well as it helps balance fatigue, it helps with weight gain, night sweats, mood swings, blood sugar issues, and more. It is all natural, and I find more and more people are going into the natural arena in order to find solutions to issues that they're going through. So if you'd like to learn more, you could go to www.arcofgrace.org/ministry-partners to learn more about Rapha today. God bless. Hey everyone, Amanda Grace here. If you are looking for advice on financial matters, if you think gold and silver might be right for you, go to bh-pm.com today. Andrew Sorcini of Beverly Hills Precious Metals, who has been on Ark of Grace many times and loves to answer our viewer questions, is here with his team to answer all of your gold and silver needs. Whether you want to buy gold and silver, whether you have questions to see if it's right for you, whether you are looking to roll over retirement accounts, go to bh-pm.com today, and Andrew and his team will be more than happy to assist you with all of your needs. If you want to support an amazing patriot and be a blessing, go to MyPillow.com today and use promo code ARK, A-R-K, to save up to 66% or more off of all MyPillow products. They have pillows, of course, but they are so much more than pillows. They have sheets, they have slippers, they have bathrobes, they even have dog beds. And a fun fact for all of you, Noble, one of our pigs at our animal sanctuary, has indeed slept on a MyPillow dog bed. So if you want to be a blessing, you can go to MyPillow.com today and use promo code ARK.